Good to see you all this morning. Let's make our way in our Bibles to Numbers chapter number 7. Numbers chapter number 7. And I did fail to mention a couple announcements that Pastor wanted me to mention. That is, of course, this Saturday will be our men's prayer breakfast and then also Grow this coming Saturday. So be a part of that. And then this next Sunday is the Sunday that Pastor's really been looking forward to, and that's Vision Sunday. Really going to just kind of cast the vision for the whole year that the Lord's given to him. And so his goal, the reason why he moved it from last week with the storms to next week is because he wanted to make sure that all of us could are here and can be here. And so if at all possible, be back next Sunday as Pastor really gives us the vision as a church to be moving forward this year. And I know a little bit about it. And what I do know is, man, it's good. All right. So be a part of that service next Sunday. And then also choir practice this afternoon at 1:15. We'll go ahead and have that there. So be a part of that. Numbers chapter number 7 this morning. As a pastor asked me to fill in, I was, you know, the truth is, as you try to preach the word, many times you're going along and you hear something and you know, kind of get a message. And you're like, oh man, that'll be good. And then all of a sudden pastor says, hey, I need you to preach next Sunday. And you don't remember a single thing from the entire Bible. And you're like, oh Adam and Eve, maybe. I think that's their name. You know what I mean? It's just like all of a sudden you get pressure. I was mentioning earlier right before church that I'm not a good test taker because I freeze in the moment. And so I'm like the deer in the headlights. So either way, I was super thankful when the Lord worked and was like, this is, I believe, the message that he has for us today. So it sure is reassuring on that part not to be left alone for sure. But Numbers chapter number seven, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, just to verse number 6. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, head of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. God, we thank you for the safety that you granted to us as we came, as we've come to church this morning. We thank you for it. And God, I know that on days like today, when it isn't nice and sunny and bright, the truth is many times we can be tempted to complain. But God, we're so thankful that even today, we woke up this morning and your mercies were new again. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your kindness. God, we thank you for the gift of salvation that you've offered to all. And God, I pray that you'd help us. God, I need you this morning. I pray that you'd help me to proclaim the message that you've given. And God, I pray that you'd work in our service this morning. We're asking in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come to Numbers chapter number 7, it is kind of nice because Pastor's just kind of gone through the tabernacle and Exodus, and so we don't have to labor that at all. He's done that. And so as we think about it, after Moses and Israel now have completed the tabernacle and they're ready to use it, we find an offering that was brought to Moses, right? So here's an offering, and as you read, it's kind of a different offering, right? I don't think it fits in the offering box because it was 6 wagons and 12 oxen. So don't worry, we're not going to have a covered wagon and oxen offering today, okay? It's okay, all right? You didn't have to bring that. Oh, I forgot. No, you didn't forget, all right? But that's what it was, is that ultimately they had put the tabernacle together. It was all completed and they're ready for use. And here it was, that one more offering. Now the people had donated generously to the building of the tabernacle. You remember all the gold that was given and all of the material, the cloth, the tent poles, and all that was given as an offering, that these people had just collectively come together and had provided the things. And isn't it interesting that they provided the things that would actually help them make the tabernacle exactly how God wanted it made? And it is pretty interesting how that works. But either way, that they had been giving and that they had been donating. They'd been giving all this stuff to the work of the tabernacle. And here it is completed. But as we finish up, there's one more offering that's given in the direct kind of ministry and maintenance of the tabernacle. They brought this offering of 6 wagons and 12 oxen. Now God told Moses to receive the offering, for it was to be used, he said specifically, in the service of the tabernacle, right? So Moses is standing there. Can you imagine that? More than likely he'd be like, what do we need that for, right? That's like the junk closet in every church, right? Hey, I got a lawnmower. I bought a new one because mine was broke down and no good, and so I'm going to donate it to the church, right? No, all right? But what happened was that literally they come, the princes of Israel, they bring it, and they're like, here's our offering. And did you notice that God literally said, Moses, accept it, receive it, right? I'd be like, that looks like 12 oxen of work. I don't think so, right? No, but God did. He said, hey, receive this offering. It's for the service of the tabernacle. Now, I know I'm a Baptist preacher, so I should note this as well, that it should be noted that this has been the way that God has set up providing for his meeting place, being taken care of, that God's people would give as God gives to them for the ministry and maintenance of his meeting place. That's how it's always been from the get-go. So there you go. We've done dealt with offering this morning, all right? We're good Baptists. We dealt with it. But God also specifically told Moses what to do with the offering. He specifically said, God told Moses to give it to the Levites to use in the service of the tabernacle, which makes sense because from the beginning, the tabernacle was going to be on the move. If you remember that God was literally there in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire at night, so that way that they knew that the presence of the Lord was here, and the tabernacle was meant, and all the Israelites through their whole wandering in the wilderness, that the tabernacle was going to be on the move. That literally God said, hey, if the cloud moves, you follow. If the fire moves at night, you follow. Whatever it is, know that that's me and you're following me. So the tabernacle wasn't meant to just stay in one place. That would be later. The temple was there, would stay in one place. But the tabernacle was literally to be on the move, following the Lord. Wherever he moved, hey, the cloud's moving. Israel, pack up. We're moving. Now, that should be in the life of every believer, that as the Spirit of the Lord moves and as he works in our life, we just follow wherever he leads, I'll follow. That should be our desire. But that was what the tabernacle was for, was to follow the Spirit of the Lord. So God told Moses to give these carts and oxen to the people that were in charge of the tabernacle. That makes sense, right? These Levites, give it to them. They'll use it. We know that the Levites were God's chosen people to work the tabernacle, that was the specific job that God gave to them. And so, as here it is, now the Levites break it down and they say, okay, Moses, Levites, here you go. We got some carts and some oxen here that's been given. And so we think about the Levites and in their service in the tabernacle. Now, I know we're doing a lot of background work, so just stay with me for a minute. And that is that the Levites were literally broken down now also into 3 groups, right? So the Levites collectively, and then as we break it down a little bit farther, these groups were the Levites, but broken down just a little bit. We have the Gershonites, the Merarites, and the Kohathites, right? Don't worry, there's not going to be a pop quiz at the end of the sermon today, okay? But either way, these were the 3. Now the Gershonites were to be camped west of the tabernacle, the Merarites were to be camped north of the tabernacle, and the Kohathites were to be camped south of the tabernacle. Now we know that Aaron and the priests were to be right outside the door there on the east. Now, so that breaks it down to say this, that there's three groups, right? Now, what was the offering again? There was six carts and there was 12 oxen, right? So it seems pretty easy to distribute that. Now, I know I was both homeschooled and public schooled both together, so I get to claim either one, whichever is beneficial. But I can do that math, right? Three groups, six carts, 12 oxen. That's what we like to call easy division, right? So it seems that it would be pretty easy. The distribution of these carts and oxen seems to be pretty easy. So let's look at it. Verse number 6 that we said, "And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites." So here we go, verse number 7. "Two wagons and four oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service." Now, that's easy, right? That's the math that's going on in my head, all right? My simple, plain, not a lot going on in a mind that is mine. I look at that and say, well, that makes sense, right? Two and four. Now let's look in verse number 8. "And four wagons and eight oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest." Okay, now we got a problem. So we had 6 and 12. So we got rid of 2 and 4, right? We got 4 and 8, and we still got two groups. However, when Moses distributed the ox and the carts, he gave all the rest to Merari, and we still have a third group. Now, be very clear, only read as far as I read, okay? Now, you'll get to see why in a minute. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none." Stop reading. I know some of you are reading. Just hang on a minute, all right? But here it was, three groups, 6 wagons, 12 oxen. Easy distribution. Now, when it came down to it, Moses being led by God. Now, remember, that's very important. Moses was only doing what God told him to do, right? God said, "Receive it." Okay, I've received it. All right, now you give this amount. You give 2 and 4 to the Gershonites. Sweet, all right, easy, all right? Okay, Merarites, now you give 4 and you get 8. Can you imagine, like, the representative of each group, right? You got the three guys here, all right? So you go over here and you're like, okay, all right, God says 2 and 4 to you, all right? Right? Guy in the middle, all right? God says, oh, really? Okay, right? He says 4 and 8 to you. Can you imagine this guy over here? I got nothing. Really? You get 2, you get 4, and I get squat, right? You get gypped. I mean, literally, when you think about just, these people are humans just like us, right? I almost in my mind be like, hey, we about to take another offering or what? We got some more cart. You got some in the back? You got some oxen back there? No, right? But that's literally how Moses distributed them. So one could look at the distribution and say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. They got 2, they got 4, and they got none, right? And to be honest, when we just look at fairness in the division of the carts and oxen, we would say, no, it's not fair. That's true. It's not fair. But let's be very clear that what it was, though, is exactly what they needed. You see, the part in verse number 9 that we skipped over was this, "But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none." Why? "Because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders." Here it is. The truth of the matter is, you know how many, do you know how many carts the Kohathites needed? Well, no, I wasn't there. Well, I can tell you. 2. Well, how many oxen do they need? 4. Well, how about Merari, how about that group? What do they need? 4. Well, how many oxen? 8. Well, what about this other group? You know how many they need? None. You see, when you look at it, you read it, and you say, 2, 4, 0. That's not fair. And you're right. But it was exactly what they needed in the service of the Lord. You see, the Kohathites were specifically given a job that was to be done by carrying it. Well, what were they given? They were given the ark. They were given the inside utensils in the worship of the Lord. That was their job. You see, the other, I didn't necessarily break it down. Let me just make sure I say it right here. The Gershonites, what they were given was the external coverings. Remember that? All the different skins that were covering the tabernacle, they were given that. The Merarites, what they were given was the structural parts. The things, literally the frame of the tabernacle. And here the Kohathites were given the internal equipment. The items that they themselves were not supposed to be on a cart. Well, how do you know that? Well, read 2 Samuel chapter number 6. You see, what happened was that the ark was taken in a battle. And David said, no, that ain't going to work. We're going to go get it. So they go get it. Well, the problem is when they go and get it, you know what they do? They put it on a cart, right? The rule was very specifically by God that it was not to be placed on a cart. Now, if I could just time out just for a minute and tell you this, I think they got the idea from the enemy. You know, they were using worldly ways to serve the Lord. That's another message, all right? I'll forget that too when Pastor asks me to preach next time. But here it was that literally in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, we find that they put it on a cart. They're traveling along and they hit a bump. Well, you know, they should have had some better shocks, right? No, they didn't, all right? So it bumped, and the man, Uzzah, he literally puts out his hand to steady the ark, right? He's like, whoa, it's falling, puts his hand out. You know what happens? He dies. He literally falls to the ground dead because the ark was put on a cart when God said it's to be carried. So God is less interested, listen to this, God is less interested in fairness and more interested in giving His people exactly what they need to serve Him. You see, we like to preach this message to the kids a lot. Life's not fair, right? You get what you get and you don't throw a... That's right. And we're real good about trying to teach kids, well, kind of. We think we are. We think we're real good at trying to teach the kids, hey, buddy, life's not fair. Sometimes your ice cream falls on the ground. It's tough. Get over it, right? But sometimes, it's not usually the gander that needed it. It's the goose. And we can be very clear to try and tell the kids that life's not fair and not everybody gets a participation trophy and it just some winners and some losers, and that's how life goes. Yeah, we like to squawk on it on Facebook or on other things, and that's true. We are doing our kids a great disservice. Ready? We're doing them a great disservice when we're trying to teach them that everything's fair. Well, okay. No, I'm serious. You ever experienced life that wasn't fair? Oh, everybody plays by the rules. You haven't been playing long, have you? No, life's not fair. Not everybody gets everything. And whatever political idea that goes out there that says, yeah, everybody gets everything and we're all good. Let me just tell you, those societies don't work. Ask Cuba. It's not working really well. But listen, we should teach our kids that life isn't fair. And as adults, we should help them to understand, hey, not everything is going to be fair. If you try to make everything fair, my dad would always use an illustration of fairness, and he would talk about the fact that as us kids were getting older, my oldest brother is 6 years older than I, and my youngest sister is 6 years younger than I. I'm the middle child, so y'all pray for me. I'm always forgotten. No, all right. But when it comes down to it, my brother being 6 and younger, older, and then 6 younger to my sister, that's 12 years apart. You ever try to buy Christmas presents that match for a 12-year-old and a 1-year-old? They're not really the same, are they? Now, you know my favorite thing? I'll just tell you what I did for Michael on his first Christmas. I'm not using me as an illustration of what you should do. I'm just saying it was pretty sweet because he wasn't very expensive. He was born in October. It's December. He's 2 months old. You know what he needs? His mama. That's what he needs. He don't need me yet, right? I'll hold him. He'll start squawking. Go back to mom, right? He doesn't need a lot. So what was really fun is when we went Christmas shopping, I got about 3 or 4 things that were about $5-6 a piece, right? Awesome. Christmas was super easy. So this is the part that I'm not saying you should do. That's what I did. So I said, wow, his Christmas this year is really cheap. So I bought him a 410 shotgun to make sure, while it was cheap. Then when it got expensive later down the road, I already forked out the money, right? Okay, so I'm just telling you what we did. But listen, you know what it's like. Kid that's in high school doesn't need everything that a kid in elementary needs, right? You get an age gap. So some, you know, you buy this and, oh, you need you might need a laptop or something like that. I ain't buying no 2-year-old laptop. Not doing it. Why? You go over there and get him the Fisher-Price box where the little shapes fit in it for about $5, and he's happy. And he's not even happy because of that. He's happy because of the box that it came in. Am I talking to people who know, right? Yeah, exactly. Now listen, now we understand that when it comes to life, when it comes to the fact that some, you know, as kids, the older kids need more and the younger kids need less. And I'm not talking about the fact that you should be in a Joseph situation, okay? You remember Joseph? What did he get? He got a coat of many colors. What did his brothers get? Squat, right? And what was it? Joseph's father literally showed favor and said, he's my favorite. Right? So there's a ditch on both sides of the road, okay? But my point being is this, that yes, we should labor and we should take time to share with the kids that, like, hey, not everything's fair. You don't always get the same thing that everybody else gets, and we should. And that is something that society might not be teaching the kids. That is, well, everybody is a winner. Well, that's not true. Not everybody is a winner. But the problem is that we like to tell it to the kids while forgetting, hey, we need it too. Come on, adults. We do it too. We wish our money, our paychecks, our possessions, our spouses, our health, our families, our talents, our hobbies, we wish it was all more fair. Well, why did the neighbor get that? Why does our family have to deal with this and that family doesn't have to? Why are our finances like this and why are their finances like this? Come on, these are questions we talk about. Maybe in the back recesses of our mind and in our heart. We might not just say them, but they're struggles that we have. Well, why is my spouse like this and their spouse is like that? Why do I have health problems and it seems like they're healthy? Why do they always have time to do their hobbies and I don't? Maybe something like this. Why did God give that to them? Why didn't God give that to me? Come on, these are questions we deal with, we ponder on, we struggle with. We all struggle with this. Why isn't life more fair? But here in Numbers chapter number 7, I believe that God gives us an illustration to help us. I believe we can find ourselves sometimes in one of these groups. We could say maybe something like this, maybe sometimes we have some help. Maybe sometimes we have lots of help. Maybe sometimes it feels like we have no help. But truthfully, we always have the Almighty. So no matter what we're facing, we're not ever facing it alone. But it can feel that way. Sometimes you have a project at the house and maybe somebody helps you. Maybe sometimes you got a project or something going on in your life and it just seems like everybody's calling, everybody's texting, everybody's letting you know that they're praying for you, trying to be an encouragement, trying to be a help. And sometimes it feels like you're carrying burdens all by yourself. It can feel that way. But let me just remind you of this promise. That is that God knows exactly what we need. You see, what I need to be part of the groups of Merari. I need the four carts and the eight oxen. Oh, do you? Why? Well, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't want to be a part of Kohath. They got to carry that stuff. No, I don't want to be part of that. But lest we forget what all three groups were doing. Remember? Service to the Lord. All three groups. The Levites, collectively. They were all doing the service of the Lord. Now, one thing is that we have to be honest and say is about God is that He's always fair in this, that He wants all to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We would refute any idea of a Calvinistic group that would say, well, God selected some to be saved and some not to. I'm just telling you, you're not going to come from that from the Bible. God wants all to be saved. No matter what your background is, no matter what you have, what you don't have, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, we can look at life and we say, well, that's not fair, and that's not fair, and that they got this, and I didn't get that. But I'm telling you this, everybody is given the opportunity to be saved by Jesus Christ today. Everybody. He offers it to all. There is not a one. Listen, I don't mean to just try and be super dramatic, but I'm telling you, if Adolf Hitler on his last moment breathed the breath in looking to Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation, he's received it. Why? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, hey, if God can save somebody as wicked and dumb and weird like me, He can save anybody. The truth is that He's always, listen, the opportunity for salvation today is open to any and all who will come. Now, God will always save the same way. Always. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Listen, it's not about you figuring out your way to heaven and your way to heaven, and I'll figure out mine. I heard Oprah say that one time. Well, you know, you just figure out your way to heaven, and I'll figure out my way to heaven, and then we'll all make it. Let me just tell you, that's not from the Bible. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by Him, but by me. That's what Jesus said. Listen, all are going to be saved the same way. All that come to Him will be saved. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, you don't know what they've done. Yeah, you're right, I don't. But God does. And He said, hey, if you come to me in salvation, there's not a single person that I'll cast out. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, what does it say? Thou shalt be saved. And when we talk about fairness in life, I will tell you this. When it comes to salvation, God is fair to all. He offers to all. There is not one group of people, not one person that God says, you can be saved, you can be saved. No, not you. You can be, no. But you don't know what I've done. Yeah, you're right. But I'm telling you, God offers you salvation today to each and every person. But when it comes to life, sometimes we want God to be the grandpa in the sky. You know how grandpa does. The day my dad turned to grandpa, I was like, who is this guy? This is not the man I lived with. I don't know who this guy is, right? Cam was mom and dad's first grandson. That's my brother, his oldest son, Cam. And the day he was born, I tell you what, mom and dad turned to mush, right? I literally remember. No, not at all. Y'all pray for me. I'm working on it. I remember one day, I was literally sitting there, and I think I was breathing, which I know that got on my dad's nerves sometimes. But I was like, I was messing around with something, and I remember very specifically, my dad looked at me and he said, "We are in a place." I think we're always in a place, aren't we? Like, what? Like, hey, knock it off. We're in a place, right? And I remember after Cam was born, he's literally taking two knives and he's beating them on the table. Whack, 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 whack. And my dad looks at it and says, "Oh, man, look at that. Look at my grandson. Like, you would have thumped me 5 times already if that was me." You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we're wanting God to be more like Grandpa in the sky. I give $20 to all of my grandchildren. I try to do this for all my grandchildren. And the truth is that sometimes life doesn't look fair. As I mentioned, some of the questions that we might have in our hearts and in our minds. Why does it seem to be tougher for me than it is for others? Why did I have to deal with this and others don't have to deal with that? We're faced with these questions all the time. And we can be tempted. No, not verbally and in front of everyone. But we can be tempted in our hearts to say, "God, you're not fair." There'll be times when we could be even on our knees with the tears flowing, with broken hearts, looking and saying, "God, why is this not fair?" I've done it. I've had things go on in my life that I look at and I say, "It's not really fair." And I've had those questions. And I've had those doubts. And I would dare say that I'm in amongst people who have also had those times where you've had the doubts, where you've had the broken heart, where you've had the trials. And things come along that you're just saying that this is not fair. And here's what we find in Numbers chapter 7. That we find that his answer to why each of the groups got different amounts was this: according to their service. Can I just tell you that when life doesn't seem fair, that's when we go to Romans 8:28. You know the passage. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." The Apostle Paul said it like this one time. He said, I've gone with, and I've gone without." Right? "I've abounded, and I've had nothing." Right? My dad always used to say this. He said, "There's sometimes I've lived with money and I've lived without. And the truth is, I like it better with." That's a joke. It's okay. But there are times in life when we look at it, we'll say things like, "That's not fair." And the truth is, at times we can even throw the fit like the little kids do in our hearts and in our minds. We can do that. But what I'm saying today is this: that we can know. We know that even when it comes to the ministry of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, you remember how people say, "Well, there's no grace in the Old Testament." You know why you say that? Because you never read it. God gave to these three groups of the Levites, He gave them according to their service. You know what the truth is? The truth is that God has service for you today. He has service for me today. And along the way, when life doesn't seem fair, we can know. Right? Not we can hope. We can really, really hope so. No, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that God is working a plan, that He's doing something, that it's not just that, "Oh, I'm just trying to be unfair. Oh, you want that? No, you don't get it. Why? Well, because I don't want it." No, it's for His service. He knew that that group didn't need literally, if he would have given them carts to haul the ark, you know what I've been saying? Here it is. Go ahead, die. Right? That's what happened when they put it on a cart. His mercy and his grace was saying, hey, you don't need a cart. Why? Because I want you to live. I want you to serve me. I want you to do the work that I've given to you. Oh, you? Yes, you need four carts. Why? Because that's the work that I gave you to do. Well, how about you? Yeah, I've given you two carts. Why? Well, because that's what you need to serve me. And I'm telling you, listen, that God is giving us what we need. It's not necessarily what we want, what we desire, but He's working a plan, and we know that all things work together for good. Not that everything is good, not that everything is fair, but that God is working, that God knows what you need, and He's working in your life. And yes, sometimes the fire gets hot. Sometimes the hammer gets heavy, but God is working on you, and He's working in your life, and He's preparing you for things that you have no idea that might be coming down the road. And yet God is saying, hey, I'm working on your behalf. And you can know that whether you need two carts or four carts or no carts, hey, God's working on you for service. Sometimes we don't like it. Well, I don't really like it. I don't want to be the group that has to carry it. I want the four carts. Maybe a couple extra too. But know that everything that comes into your life went across the desk of God. God approved it into your life. Now, I didn't say God caused it all. But I am saying that it was approved by God. Remember Job? You think his life was fair? Not so much. Do you remember the interaction in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2? Satan comes before God and says, you know why Job serves you? Because you protect him. Because you bless him. Because you've given him a lot of stuff. That's why Job serves you. God says, okay, try him. Now it's interesting that along the way, Satan could only attack Job so much as who led him? God. Remember at the first? You can take his wealth, but you can't touch his body. Could Satan touch him? No. But then later, well, he only serves you because he's healthy. Okay. You can take his health. You know what Job still did? Still serve the Lord. And what it reminds us is that, listen, God did not tempt Job. He promised in His Word that He's not going to do that. But what He did do is He allowed things to come into Job's life. Can I just tell you that Job's ministry is still abounding today? Why? Because we read the book of Job and we say, what a great God who helped even Job, who lost his wealth, who lost his family, who lost the support of his wife, who lost his health. Let's say at the end, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he understood? He understood that it wasn't necessarily about being fair, but it was about that God was doing a work in his life for his service. And as a saved person, we all need to be surrendered to the fact that life is not always fair. We can talk about it. We can scream at it in society. Not everything's fair, right? And remember that whenever it comes down to yours. That's the one thing I like about children. My favorite part about it is that they always forget their part. You know, it's like I heard a preacher one time that he's talking about husbands love your wives and wives submit. So husbands like to say, hey, God said you submit, right? And so the preacher always says, hey, learn your own verse, right? That's good. Okay, I'm going to need to mark that down for next message. No, all right? But it's like, learn your own verse, right? That's my favorite thing about kids, right? You tell them, you're like, hey, listen, it's not always fair. You don't play with that toy or whatever it is, right? You tell that kid. And all of a sudden, it comes down to it, and it happens to the other kid. You know what they'll say? Hey, life's not fair. Get over it, right? But then when it comes back to their turn, they forget. Well, it's not fair. Right? If you're waiting for life to be fair, you're going to find it never is. Well, I don't understand this. The truth is that we can trust God above, who knows what He's allowing into our lives, what He's taking out of our lives. It's like that guy who said, I've been saving this board in my garage since 2001. Yesterday I finally got to use it. The truth is, we don't always want to go through what we have to go through in life. I've been there, you've been there. Things that came along that you said, if I had my choice, I wouldn't choose. But we can trust. Fact. I say that on purpose. The fact that God is doing a greater work than even you or I can understand. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are far higher than we could ever think. And yes, it might not be fair right now. But God might be preparing you for later down the road. And know that everything you're going through is on purpose. It's for His service. I want it to be fair. We could say things like, I want what's coming to me. I don't. The fact that God should has every right to squash me like a bug because I'm so undeserving of His grace, of His mercy. I'm so undeserving of salvation. I'm so thankful that in those situations that God isn't fair, giving us exactly what we deserve. He gives us mercy and He gives us grace. And today, remember this. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen, He offers it to you. As I mentioned, you don't know what I've done. That's right. I don't know the life you've lived. I don't know the things you've done, the thoughts you've thought. I don't. But as that old song by the Gaithers used to say, the one that loves me most knows me best. God does know you. He knows everything that you've done. He knows everything you've thought. You know what He says? All you that are weary and labor, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He offers salvation to you today. He won't turn you away. He will save you. To the Christian, to the saved person, remember that life's not always fair. Sometimes you might get two carts, sometimes you might get four, and sometimes you might get none. But know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, everything that comes into our life is there in preparation for His service. If we look at it that way, instead of looking and getting angry and bitter and mad that it's not fair, start looking at it in light of the fact that, God, you know what you're doing. So what's the response on a message like this? Well, you're not saved. Today's the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 5 minutes. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And if you're saved, maybe it might look this, maybe come to an altar, be right where you're at today. and surrender to the Lord and say, God, help me to stop looking at everything of whether it's fair. And start looking at it as that it's for your service. God, help me to change my mindset that I could be more like you. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And God, I pray that you'd help us today. There have been times along the road of life that I've looked at things of whether it was fair or whether it wasn't, totally negating the fact that you were working in my life all along the way. And I pray that you'd help us to change our mindset. That's whether it's fair or whether it's not fair. Help us to change it, to look at things that it's for your service. God, I pray that you'd help us today. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would come and that they would say, hey, I need someone to show me how to be saved. And God, we would love to take your word and to show them how they can be saved. God, I pray that you do your perfect work in every heart and life today. In Jesus' name, as we stand to our feet, as the music begins to play, just respond to the Lord. If you don't come to the altar, that's fine. Maybe you need to. Maybe you need to humble yourself and come before the Lord. But either way, let's take